from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Wow, hello everyone. This is the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. Find us at chatterboxshow.com or Chatterbox Game Show. You know, I got both.
Yes, anyway. Don't you have like 12 in case people spell it wrong? Like
I have a bunch, but the chatterboxshow.com is the most recent one. I don't think I even told anybody about it. I haven't even checked that I set it up to actually work. But I bet
you can also go to alon.name/...
slash anything.
I have too many freaking domains.
Listen, I try. You can buy domains on our website, by the way. There's a link to Chatterbox Hosting. Anyway, my name is Alon, as you've found out. I am one of the many hosts of this radio show, the second one being...
And my name is Ara. That is true. I am the second host.
And from time to time, Andrew might even speak up. Andrew here, he runs the board, and he also is responsible for several parts of the show. I wouldn't say he's the producer, but from time to time, I've even said, hey, Andrew... Maybe you want to get us a guest.
Yes, and you know what? This time,
our booking agent,
Alon, we actually have a guest now.
He's really come through this time.
We have a guest right now.
Yeah, we have a guest
right now.
It's another. Hold on here.
I'm waiting for you, Andrew.
It's another one of the hosts on KFNX. Just wanted to chime in.
Okay, let's hear it.
Can we bring him? We got Bill O'Reilly on the show.
Oh,
Bill O'Reilly.
I thought he was in the bathroom.
I've been waiting to tear up that guy apart for years.
Do the right thing, or I'm going to tear your throat out.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, thank you. I'm glad that you could be here on Chatterbox.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you, Andrew, for that.
I try hard.
I think our attempts at comedy fail so often here at Chatterbox. One of these days, we'll get it right. I've been bugging Andrew to try and get us a guest, and he tells me he's got something up his sleeve for later in tonight's show, but he won't tell me about it.
We actually
have games to talk about, though.
Yes, as always.
Yes. And a lot has happened lately. That's actually not true. I just say that because it's supposed to sound hypey.
No, but we have some big news this week that's come out recently, hasn't it?
Yes. You're talking about the Harmonix announcement.
Indeed.
Indeed. This morning I woke up and what I do when I get up in the morning, like I like to sit in bed for like an hour before I actually get up and do anything.
Yeah.
But I like
to do that. It's called sleeping.
Yeah. No, I wake up and then I just sit there for a while so I can try and like be awake by the time I get out of bed. Kind of like when you're a kid, you don't want to get out of bed to go to high school or whatever. Anyway, so I've promised I'm not going to do that as much anymore, but I still break out the old BlackBerry and I check out Joystick in the morning. And it had the announcement about Harmonix making the game, which I think is called Rock Band. And
suitable name.
Yeah, we pretty much knew this was coming, but it hadn't been officially announced.
Well, I always was, you know, hoping that maybe it would be something, you know, just freakishly far out. I mean, not something stupid like Accordion Hero, which is the running joke. But yes, this is probably the most obvious...
I could have sworn we actually heard someone sort of make a loose reference to what this is, like multiple instruments all joining in a single game.
And actually, it's been done before, believe it or not.
Guitar Freaks Drummania.
Right, the original Guitar Freaks, which came out in Japan and not here, not really.
Not at all related to Guitar Hero, by the way.
Right, other than it's the same type of game with three buttons instead of five, but I digress.
Yeah.
The cool thing was if you had a... arcade, and if you had lots and lots of money, you could buy the Guitar Freaks arcade cabinet, the Drum Mania arcade cabinet, which is a drum simulation game, and they also had another game called Keyboard Mania, and so you could actually have five people playing the same song at once.
Did Keyboard Mania interface with it?
Here's where it gets kind of messy, right? But it did in the arcades, but when the PS2 version came out, all you could do was they just had this one Drum Mania plus Guitar Freaks package.
Yeah.
So you could play just one guy on drums and two guys on guitar.
The way that worked is actually Guitar Freaks 1 and 2 came out on the original PlayStation. And then did Drummania ever come out on its own?
Yeah, it came out on PS2 by itself. And then the next one, the series kind of merged together.
Okay, so that's when Drummania 2 and Guitar Freaks 3 came out on one disc. And then everything beyond that was like... Drummania 3, Guitar Freaks 4. Drummania 4, Guitar Freaks 5.
Yeah, it's
always
insane.
On one disc, but offset by a single number.
And in the arcades, I don't even know. I think they just gave up on the numbers. And at one point, they just said, okay, this is Guitar Freaks Drummania 5. Like, the whole thing together is 5.
Good, the way it should have been.
Because, I don't know, I don't remember what number they came up to, but it was like, so, there's like 7, 8, 9.
You actually have the drum set.
Yes.
And I have a guitar anyway that works on it. I don't know if you have a guitar. Guitar Freaks guitar.
I have the original Guitar Freaks guitar.
Really?
Yes.
I also have one of my Guitar Hero controllers I converted to play on Guitar Freaks.
Which I have to say that the original Konami peripheral, their guitar, I feel is superior to the Red Octane one.
I completely disagree, but I haven't met anybody else who could make that comparison. So right now it's really just 101.
Right.
But
well, we can fight about that later.
I like the Guitar Hero controller a lot better. The other one's so tiny.
Besides the size, it's really what it is that I like better is the buttons don't move as much, so you can be a lot faster with your fingers, and you don't have to put as much pressure on them to activate them. So you can, it really feels like you can just play faster.
Really? I don't know. I like Guitar Hero. But anyway, let's discuss this very shortly. They have this game now. It's going to have two different guitars. Lead or rhythm or whatever. It's one normal guitar and then bass.
Right.
And also drums. And someone can be on a mic singing. So it's basically the guitar game that they already made, the karaoke game that they already made,
yep.
And then drums that, you know, Konami made years ago, and they're probably going to make way better.
Yeah, I'm actually very curious to see what they do with the drum interface.
Now, not for the PS2, strangely. It's going to be only on the Xbox 360 and PS3. Now, the reason this bothers me is that I already have two guitars, and a third one from Guitar Freaks days, right, on the PS2. And the PS2 controllers don't work on a PS3 because Sony is a bunch of dicks and they won't put in an adapter. They won't put the drivers for PS2 controllers.
Yeah, I find this totally retarded.
Yeah, they could easily make an adapter to plug into the USB port and run these controllers, but they won't do it because it means that you're not going to buy a PS3 controller for $50 when you could buy a PS2 controller.
Right. The coolest thing they did was the generation between PlayStation and PS2. There were so many things on the PS2 that were so easily backwards compatible.
Yeah, but you don't buy memory cards, so they lost an accessory there. Nobody's going to buy memory cards for the PS3.
Right.
So, you're going to have to buy controllers, a buttload of controllers, which eventually the batteries will die in and you'll have to replace.
They must be making money strictly on those controllers because,
oh my god, $50?
If they were, you know, breaking even, or if their margin was too small, I think they would probably try and use that customer base existing of all those controllers.
The chips that they put in for the 6-axis controller, I believe are cheaper than the motors that they took out for the Rumble. Not that they're not going to put those back in anyway, but they're very cheap.
Right.
So I guarantee that controller doesn't cost them more than $5 to build. Guaranteed doesn't cost more than $5 to build. And they're selling it for $50. Controllers have gotten outrageous. The 360 controllers were bad enough, and those are only $40. Is it $40 for the corded and $50 for the wireless?
I don't know. Either way, it's a travesty.
They're too damn expensive. And so that's the reason you won't see an adapter on the PS3. So now both my guitars are going to go and collect dust because I have to buy two more guitars. Now, I don't mind buying a bass guitar if it's actually going to be a different, you know, controller, because I want as many controllers as possible, but I don't want to buy the second controller again. Although they might have an effects pedal now. They announced, or it looks like there's an effects pedal that may be released for the 360 version.
That's cool.
In the manual for the 360 version, which has been sold at some stores this weekend, there's a...
They're selling the manual?
Well, the manual does come with it. They sell the whole game, just they sold it early, right? Supposed to come out tomorrow.
Yeah.
But the manual references the controller port on the 360 guitar.
All right.
We were all wondering what that port was for. Little RJ11, I think. Phone cord connector.
Oh.
And it refers to it as an effects pedal. But they could always just not utilize that. Anyway, so it's going to be out for the 360. You're going to be able to buy a drum set and attach a mic and all that stuff. But I don't like how Sony won't let us use controllers. And what I think is going to happen is that Harmonix is going to produce their own adapter, which works in their game.
They do that, that would be super effing amazing.
I mean, they obviously can make hardware, right? So they could just make an adapter for the controllers if you want and charge $20 for that. Still be a huge profit for them. And it would only work in their games because the drivers for that would load upon loading the game. But Sony could make drivers that are in the PlayStation 3 for every game with a firmware update so that you could always use any PS2 controller. But, like I said, they're dicks.
They have to sell more controllers.
Harmonix, however...
You can't be using those old DualShock 2 antiquated technology controllers.
No, because they don't have 6-axis.
They have to, you know, you have to use those fancy new triangle-shaped plugs.
So, anyway, like I was saying, Harmonix could make their own drivers, and it could run in Harmonix games, and anybody else could copy their drivers and allow them to work, but Sony apparently is refusing to do it. Maybe they'll smarten up. So, Very excited about that game.
Yes.
And it's online.
So. Online, yeah. I find this kind of interesting, actually, because as you may or may not know, when you play games online, there's a huge latency factor.
Well, that is argued. In fact, I was talking to a friend today about that and just about this case, and I was saying that latency is going to be an issue with it. They could do all sorts of predictive stuff for the notes. Like, you could assume they're going to play the right note and start playing it and then stop playing it right after the machine realizes that the other player screwed up his note.
Right. Well, here's the thing that makes it interesting is that at first it seems like it would totally not work because in a game like Guitar Hero, the music games in general, they're so much more dependent on accuracy and timing on the order of milliseconds than any other game.
Exactly.
But on the other hand, when you're playing with someone online, really, their performance isn't exactly affecting your outcome unless it comes down to when you're going to lose the game.
Yeah, well, I think cooperative play would be more difficult, but still possible with that predictive stuff where they could just... I mean, there's ways around it with software, right?
Sure.
Not to speed up the bandwidth, but to... or the rate transmission.
But it's all trickery, really.
Yeah, but...
Which would be a nice topic
later. You add in
later.
The karaoke... And you're hearing them, and that's hearing them is important.
Yeah, I don't know how the karaoke part's going to work. That's a good point.
Yeah.
I only thought about the triggering the notes.
Mixing that in could be tough. And certainly the concept of pro face-off, where I just play the same song you do, it'd be better that I don't hear your mistakes, and we just play together.
Yeah.
That would be easy. So anyway, that's what I'm very excited about. And we got some more to talk about, as always.
Oh, so much more.
Ara has like a huge list of notes in front of him for things. So we'll be back in just a minute. Stay tuned, everyone. ChatterboxGameshow.com if you want to go to our website.
Welcome back, folks, to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. I'm one half of your hosts, Ara.
And I am the bottom of the left half. I don't know. I'm the other host, Alon.
And we talk about video games every week here?
We do. Well, from time to time, and then I just talk about whatever crap is happening to me.
And sometimes, yes, we go on slight diversions here and there.
But we also have to talk about sponsors. UAT.edu, that's the University of Advanced in Technology. Wonderful school here in the Tempe area, Phoenix metro area even. And I went there for school, learned how to make some games. You can too, UAT.edu.
Was that rhyme intentional?
No, but...
It was nice, I like that.
All right, well, maybe I'll do that some more. All right, you have actually lots of stuff to... We had brought up Boom Boom Rocket at one point, right?
Right, and we never actually talked about it. So let's actually talk about it. So this,
I have yet to actually get to see it.
Yeah, we'll have to do something about that.
One of these days, I'll sneak my way into Rainbow. We don't mention this all the time. You're a designer at Rainbow Studios.
Yes, I actually work at Rainbow Studios. And now that we've mentioned it, you won't be sneaking into Rainbow.
But, definitely.
You know, one of the perks of working for developers that we get to play some games that aren't out yet. And we kind of talked about that last week. But one of the games that I played, well, it's called Boom Boom Rocket. And so this game is not out yet, but, I wanted to say a couple words about it because I'm a really big music game fan. I'm really into the rhythm games, as are you, obviously.
Oh, definitely.
And I was let down, I have to say. And I wasn't just a little let down. I was really, really let down.
Well, if you were really let down, that would imply that you had high expectations.
In fact, surprisingly enough, I had absolutely no expectations.
I submit that you were not let down.
This just came out of the blue. But I was actually disappointed because this game was such a transparent amalgamation of a few other games that I was shocked. Now, I'll be the first person to say that, originality is not necessarily the most important thing in a game. Just because there's, concepts and mechanics and things like that that get, borrowed from other games, I don't think that's necessarily bad. But the way Boom Boom Rocket does it is it's just... I don't know. It's so blatant, and the results are so bad.
All right, now, so let's start with a short description of what the game actually is.
Okay. Basically, the best way I can put it is, it's the mechanics of DDR, Dance Dance Revolution, except you're using the control pad, combined with the graphics of Fantavision.
Fantavision, one of the first games out for the PS2, Fireworks, basically. Right. Fireworks simulation, yes, essentially.
Yes. And not only fireworks with the screen scrolling around a city, which also happened in Fantavision.
Scrolling around a city?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's fireworks.
Okay, but I mean, all right. So, also, their scoring system borrows a lot from Guitar Hero. Which, that is to say, you have this meter that you fill up, right? And when it gets to a point...
Like the star power.
Just like the star power, you press a combination of buttons, and you're in the super high bonus score mode. Now, the way that it's slightly different, actually, is that you actually use up... In Guitar Hero, they had a separate meter for this, right? In this game, you have the same meter. So you're kind of like your life meter, so to speak, is actually consumed... While you use, about two-thirds of it to get into the bonus mode, right? So right when you get out of bonus mode...
You're about to die.
You're not about to die, but you're way, way closer to dying than before. So there's actually a risk to going into bonus mode, which...
I like that.
I mean, it's a trade-off. I can see why, you know, there's some things better about doing it this way and some things better about doing it the other way. I mean, the nice thing about the way they did it in Guitar Hero was that you can... use it in kind of two ways, right? You can use it to save yourself, or you can use it, once you've gained skill, right, you can use it to bolster your score. And the way that they've implemented it in Boom Boom Rocket, you can't really save yourself with it because you're worse off when you started with it.
Yeah. I'm shaking my head in agreement. I understand that. Yeah.
So basically, you know, this, by the way, for people who don't know, this is made by a lot of the same people who worked on Geometry Wars.
Yeah, the Bizarre Creations team, right?
Yes, or more specifically, a few people within that team.
Yeah.
Because these games don't have big staffs. But basically, my main problem with it is that, you know, even though the mechanics are pretty much just like DDR, it's a lot harder to play than DDR.
And, why is that?
And the reason for that is because, you know, in DDR, you had the arrows going up in their own lanes, right? You had one lane for each arrow. And in a way, it is kind of incredible, but in a way, it's kind of stupid, too. In this game, what they do is they don't have specific lanes for, you know, the arrows to come up on. So on, you know, the up arrow, right? It might be, like, flying up the right side of the screen at some point. Later on, it's flying up the left side of the screen. And they basically arrange these notes a lot of times to deliberately confuse you, right? So they kind of, like, you get used to notes appearing in certain ways. And then they mix it up, and you're all confused, and it makes it hard to read.
That actually sounds a little bit like the DDR copy game made by Roxor, whose name I can't remember right now.
Really?
But hopefully someone will put it in the chat.
No, I think I did see that once in the arcade, and I was kind of like, I don't know, barfing all over the place.
In the Groove. In the Groove. It has all these crazy effects, right? In the Groove is essentially the PC emulator of...
This is not Pump It Up. DDR. This is different from Pump It Up.
No, not Pump It Up.
This is the other copy of the game.
No, like, Pump It Up is its own game, different buttons, right? I mean, it's obviously the same concept.
Right.
Dancing game. But
Rotated
In the Groove came from people wanting to play DDR on the PC. Somebody made a simulator.
Oh.
And then someone took that simulator, made it a little bit more professional looking, put it in an arcade and slapped the name In the Groove on it.
Okay.
And then actually made a PS2 game out of it. Konami sued, and now they can't sell it anymore and whatever.
Wow.
But yeah, it had all these crazy effects because the people in the PC version put wacky effects in of like tornadoes and waving back, you know, backwards and forwards and moving. It was nuts. All over the place.
All right. So yeah, you know, I'd actually be very curious to see what your impression of the game is, because basically what I think they're doing here is they're taking something and they're making it hard by making it harder to read. And to me, that is a big interface no-no as far as design goes.
I agree with you there. I think inability to understand what's going on, it should never be used as a method for, you know, enhancing difficulty, which is what I didn't like about Elite Beat Agents on the last difficulty level. When I was playing that, I got to the last difficulty, it's so hard to even know when to do something.
Right.
That it just makes it...
You just
really
have to have the song memorized, don't you?
Almost, pretty much. You got to play it over and over and over. And you know what? Andrew's giving me the look. I told you earlier he's trying to be a booking agent here. I think he actually got somebody, so...
Wow.
Wow, this is incredible. Andrew, you are awesome. Apparently, Andrew's actually been able to get Billy D. Williams on the phone with us tonight. He's super busy, though, so let's get right to it. So, Billy, you did some work on the new
Billy
game.
Billy D. Williams.
Oh, sorry. Billy D. Williams. You know, serial killers are often known by their full three names.
Well, do you ever shorten it?
Billy D.
Okay, so, Billy, you're in Command
Billy D.
and
Williams.
Conquer. Oh, my bad. Full name. Let's try this again. We'll get this right. Alon, can you handle it?
Totally. So, Billy D, we're interested...
This is B Command. Billy D Williams.
Damn. Sorry. We will not screw that up again.
This is 3.
Right. We promise.
Billy D Williams, we know you're involved in the hit new Command & Conquer game, but we want to know a bit more about the real Billy D.
Williams.
Right. So, do you have any video game systems yourself?
3.
Wow, those must be the Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, and the Wii, of course. Do you have any kids?
3.
Oh, really? But, you know, they're all grown up, and I know your wife recently died in a horrible apple-picking incident, so, I mean, you used to be quite the ladies' man. So I bet, you know, you probably got right back on that horse. Last night, for instance, did you meet anyone special last night?
3.
Oh, I should have known.
All right, let's bring this back on track, Alon. What about your spare time? Do you have any hobbies?
Boxing.
Oh, you're a fighter, huh? I was thinking you might say playing real-time strategy games. Well, I bet your publicist would be angry if we didn't talk at all about the game.
Command & Conquer 3?
Yeah. Now, you're an actor in the full-motion video portion of the game. I bet working in video games is tons of fun. But what's your favorite medium?
Radio.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Shows off that sexy ladies' man voice. But back on topic again... Last week, we learned that Command & Conquer 3 has a new playable faction in it. So, how many is that total?
3.
Oh, isn't that convenient. Oh boy, you know what? Andrew's actually telling me we're almost out of time with you.
Quick, before you have to go, what's your absolute favorite hobby?
Listening to Billy D. Williams.
And your favorite radio show?
Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
Well, there you have it, folks. Mr. Lando Calrissian himself.
Billy D. Williams.
Yes. Thank you so much, Billy, for being a part of Chatterbox.
I can't believe we got him.
Wow, you know, he's a lot less talkative than I was expecting.
Last week we talked about Command & Conquer 3. Andrew comes through for us. That's We Will Be Right Back. Wasn't expecting that at all. It's crazy.
This is Trisha Helfer from Command & Conquer 3, and you're listening to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show.
Are back once again. This is the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name is Alon.
And my name is Ara.
Over there is Andrew, booking the guests like a madman. What did you think of that? How'd you manage to do that, Andrew?
I can't share my secrets, Alon, but there's more to come.
Your cell phone must be just full of fancy Rolodex.
Wow. I can't wait about who's going to come next on this show. It's like, I don't know, it's like Christmas.
We have Trisha Helfer, I think. Her name is.
Yeah.
She did a soundbite from Command & Conquer 3 for us too. I mean,
is that so?
Yeah.
What a coincidence.
We'll probably have that leading into one of the show segments, but I don't know if we could ever score an interview with her. She's too hot for Andrew's cell phone. But I don't know. I was very happy to get him on. It was a total surprise. So we were just talking about Boom Boom Rocket, and I'm wondering, did we run out of steam there? We kind of got cut off because of the Billy D. Williams thing.
No, that's pretty much all I had to say about it. You know, maybe when you have a chance to play it, we can do a little more chattering about that.
I definitely want to see it because, I mean, like you said, we're both rhythm game fanatics. And
it's, you know what it is? I feel like I've been really, really spoiled by certain music / rhythm games. So I really have a very, very high level of expectation now.
You know, here's the thing, though. With a lot of rhythm games, like, timing is so vital, and there's a lot of the screen real estate has to be taken up with really the control aspect of the game. So Guitar Hero, more than half the screen, at least half the screen, is taken up with the ramps, which have no real visual quality. I mean, they try to art
right. And I even think that wasn't enough, actually.
Yeah. And so they try to make it fancy looking and whatnot, but the part of the game that spectators want to see, the cool visual stuff.
Right.
There's not a whole lot to it, and while playing, more importantly, you don't see that. Now, I'd like to be able to enjoy the visuals of a game while playing a rhythm game, but I just don't think it's ever going to happen. And DDR is a lot of fun, but it's really distracting when, like, the lights in the background and weird stuff happens to make me not be able to see the arrows. So
right. Well, in that game, right, the arrows are huge, and they do that to kind of compensate for the fact that, yeah, they're layering something right behind them.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm trying to say is I want to see a visually appealing rhythm game. I just question whether or not I could accept it during gameplay.
Right. Well, certainly, I think at least for me, it definitely, if there's stuff happening on top of where the actual gameplay action is, then it's in as much as that happens, I think it's distracting. I even think that coloring the lanes in Guitar Hero is distracting to a certain extent.
Yeah, you mean just the pattern that they put on there?
Right. You know, something like...
We've had this discussion off the air before. Yeah.
We have. And apparently I'm the only person who has this criticism. But if you compare a game like, you know, Guitar Freaks with Guitar Hero, basically in Guitar Freaks, the lanes where the notes are almost completely black.
Yeah, there's nothing but the notes traveling through them.
And, you know, while someone would say, oh, okay, well, there's a lot of screen real estate or there's not much going on the other hand, that makes the game, the actual action, the notes that are coming up, that makes them really, really easy to read. Something like DDR is a little worse because there's stuff happening in the background layered on top of the notes, but I don't think it's as bad as, say, Guitar Hero, because since the scrolling items that are actually part of the action that you're paying attention to, since they're moving at a different speed as what's going on behind it, you get this parallax, right? And you can more easily distinguish than, you know, what Guitar Hero does, which I think is a big mistake, is since the detail not gameplay related is moving at the same speed along with the notes, it tends to kind of blend into each other.
Yeah, the contrast is essentially reduced.
Right. Now, you know, I've had this discussion with other people, and a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, I play the game and it's fine. I'm not talking about, like, you know, you think that, like, you can't see, like, the spotted dog in, like, you know, the psychological test or whatever with all the spots. It's not an issue of, like, being able to see it or not. What it's an issue of...
Is that a Rorschach test? What is that?
I don't know, something like that.
Okay.
What it is an issue of performance on the level of, you know, when you've got lots and lots of notes coming at you, your brain is making decisions at fractions of a second, and that's when these differences come into play. Not when, like, oh, can I see these actual notes or not? And I know for a fact that they actually had trouble with this, because if you pay attention to what they do in Guitar Hero, you'll see that the first note that comes down on the lane, they actually put a sparkling particle effect on that note. Why do they do that? They do it because without it, it wouldn't be enough to draw your attention to it, because it blends so well into the rest of the background of the fretboard.
I don't think I ever noticed that.
Take a look. You'll see.
All right. So I'm thinking, like, it would be interesting to have a rhythm game where I know to press the buttons based only on the sounds I hear, but that'd be a very different game than pretty much anything I've played before. Because I'd want to enjoy the visuals, but be able to determine the gameplay outside of the visuals that I'm looking at, because I'm being distracted by the pretty visuals.
Right. Well, I think to do a game like that, right, you'd have to have a one-to-one mapping between a button and a track.
And various sounds. I don't know.
And most of these games, right, there's enough variety in the tracks that you can't say just this one button will always do this instrument, right? They have to switch it up. You don't have enough buttons.
It would be a weird game to produce. But what about the music in the game? Because a lot of people, what makes them like or dislike a game? At least a rhythm game, is just the music that is available to you.
I'm kind of on the fence on this one. Interestingly enough, all the music tracks in this game are kind of like techno remixes of classical music.
Really?
Yeah.
Like two or three songs that are in DDR?
Yeah, something like that. Because I know that Konami did do some classical music remixes. I guess for just the purposes of, you know, trying to get as much volume of music into their game, I think they just used classical songs as a basis.
It's free of licensing.
There you go. Yes. And they just did these kind of like electronica renditions of them, which, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't get me hyped up as much. You know, I have to say I don't enjoy the music just by itself.
I'm really interested to hear that now. Anyway, let's move past that, because you played also another game with... Cooking Mama has been out for a long time.
Right. I had the chance to play for the first time finally a couple weeks ago on the DS, though.
Yeah, it just came out for the Wii, been out for the DS for quite a while now. All right, so I've never played this at all. I want to play the Wii version, but I have some other stuff to talk about regarding that.
Yeah.
But you played the DS.
Yeah, so I thought that this was interesting because we actually, remember how we were talking about WarioWare?
Mm-hmm.
And all the problems in WarioWare? Well, Cooking Mama, believe it or not, is actually very similar to WarioWare.
in that you don't know what to do and you only have 5 seconds to do it?
Well, it's almost like they took some of the problems that WarioWare had and they kind of ameliorated them. So instead of, say, having like a 3 or 4 second game, the minigames now last like, you know, 10 seconds to 30 seconds. Right? So a little longer, okay?
But there's like 90 of them.
Well, there's less minigames, actually, than in WarioWare.
Okay.
There's less of a variety of different things that you're doing. So this is actually kind of better in a way because there's less for you to figure out. You know, one of the problems, though, is that, yeah, it is kind of hard. They don't really give you much in the way of instruction. They actually try to tell you before the stage starts what you're supposed to do, but the interface is a little obtuse, so you do have to play some of the games over and over just to figure out, okay, well, this is what they're trying to make me do, right? But once you learn that, right, then it's pretty easy going because you pretty much, once you see the game, you understand, even though they change a couple things up a little bit here and there, the same like basic game structures, they repeat over and over. And so that's kind of nice. The fact that the minigames are a little longer, also kind of nice. Actually, what I found out to be a little annoying was that once I'd figured out how the games work, they put these pauses in between each kind of minigame, right? So you have to page through a few screens, and I actually found that to be quite distracting. I really kind of wished I could do all of them, you know, because if you're doing something like, I don't know, making a pizza, right? There's like 5 or 6 mini games, and there's a pause in between each one. And I kind of wish I could just do all of them one after the other without stopping.
But I imagine the control on the game was probably near perfect, given that the DS has fantastic control with the touchpad.
It was pretty easy, I would say. You know, I mean, you just a lot of the movements that you're doing is, you know, you're tapping on the screen, right, or you're making certain motions and stuff like that.
So I'm curious. Having not played the Wii version, do you think the control would be better on the Wii?
You know what? I'd have to say that just from my experience with the Wii controller, it would probably... I don't think I would like it as much.
Really? See, yeah. Like the game when Trauma... Whatever. Trauma Center.
Trauma Center, yeah.
Switched over to the Wii. I never played the DS version, but I played the Wii version, and I heard it was essentially the same thing.
Right.
I tried to imagine it, and I actually thought, I can just see that the Wii version is probably better. But that's because it used the infrared on it, and the infrared, as I've said, is really good control. And what I wanted to talk about now, after you talked about Cooking Mama, is that there was actually an article in Joystick this morning referring to Cooking Mama for the Wii.
Oh, really?
And not... The point of it wasn't so much Cooking Mama. The point of it was more the Wii. And I know that we're about to come to a break, so I'm not going to jump into this until after, because I've got too much to talk about.
Well, the suspense is killing me.
Yes. We will be back right after this. I'm going to talk about this little Joystick article, which has me raving. Is it mad? Or am I sad? Sad? Happy? Mad? Gleeful? I don't know, but we'll find out after this break.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
How's that pizza, Ara?
It's delicious.
The purloined pizza.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know, but it is ensconced firmly
pizza
in his tummy.
Ara poached.
Yes.
Right.
Well, you know, one good poach deserves another.
Listen, this is a short segment, and I need it. My name is Alon. I am also one of the hosts of the show, and I'm the one who reminds everybody to go to uat.edu, where you can learn about the University of Advancing Technologies and maybe learn how to make some games. Now, there's something I need to get into in a minute, but also before the end of the show, I neglected to do it last week. I'm going to talk about what the Xbox 360 Elite means to you.
What does that mean?
There's been a lot of news about it lately. Everybody's, you know, looking at it, trying to analyze it. Why is it good? Why is it bad?
Is this another thing you have to spend money on? What's going on?
Maybe. My roommate will, but by the end of the show, definitely got some news about that. All right, so you were talking about Cooking Mama. I said, Joystick had an article sort of about Cooking Mama this morning, and I'm going to have to read some of it and go quickly, but here's the thing. The title of this article is Cooking Mama Cook-Off. That's the name of the game. Highlights Wii Remote Issues. Now, anyone who's listened to the show for a while knows that my favorite topic in the world is me, and talking about how I am right. Now, in May of last year, I went to E3, And I played games on the Wii. I waited literally for hours in line to play the Wii. And then I said, you know what? I had grand plans and excitement, and I was enamored by the idea. And then I got to play it. And I said, you know what? This machine is not nearly reliable enough, the control of it, I mean, not nearly reliable enough to be good for anything that's not a party game, unless it's really not using the fundamental parts of the controller that make it so interesting. And
would you say it was Suxor?
It said that. Yeah, I gave the example a fighting game. Imagine you have a controller, like Street Fighter. You know, you got three punches, three kicks, and maybe half the time you press one of the buttons and it either does what should happen with the other button, one of the other buttons, or it just doesn't happen at all. Your controller would end up in pieces on the ground by the wall of your room.
Yes, we certainly talked about that at length.
Yes. So here they say, in GameSpot's review of recent Wii release Cooking Mama Cook-Off, they make a complaint that is becoming an all-too-common refrain among Wii fans. The motion controls just aren't reliable. Some are overly sensitive, and some aren't sensitive enough. There are bigger stakes here than the occasional botched omelet. Over the month since launch, the unpredictable Wii Remote has led to a maddening dichotomy. Some games are too easy, while others are too hard, for all the wrong reasons. And then it points out that, like, Wii Sports Bowling, any grandma can get a strike all the time. And then Wii Golf, you can swing it the same way five times and get wildly different response from it. And I'm always saying that the controller, it's simply not as good as we had anticipated from the beginning. It doesn't have absolute control. It only has absolute positioning. Only has relative positioning. And it's not good enough for the sensitive motions that we're required to do. And I was talking about this with a knowledgeable friend today, someone who's a programmer and a gamer and whatever. Sean, who hosted this show with me for a few episodes way back in the day.
Does he think it sucks or too?
He thinks it's more software-based and that they could do a better job with it.
Now, I do believe that they can actually do a better job of it.
But they've been doing so many bad jobs with it.
Right.
And I just I don't know. Well, I haven't played with these chips in a lab. I don't know how good they could be. But, I mean, like Sean was saying, maybe they dumb it down so that everybody can play it. But at the same time, they're ruining it, where I wish I could put in the dashboard of the system, like in all the settings for my Wii, say, I'm an expert gamer or an experienced gamer or someone who wants that realistic experience. So every game that comes out should have the noob experience, which is default, or check, oh, is this guy, does he know what he's doing? Oh, okay, then we're going to actually make the controller work.
Yeah, well, I think there's two main problems. The first one being that, I do think that there is a software kind of like filtering issue that, you know, the program has to interpret your emotions, and they can do that better. But I do think that even still, they probably won't be able to make it as good as it really needs to be. So I think it can be improved, but not enough. But I think the other real issue is that one thing that we've really learned about how the Wii controller handles is that people use it so differently to do the same things. I really believe that it's an intractable situation unless you actually give the player a facility to calibrate their motions.
I said that way before it came out, too, that we need to be able to calibrate our strength, because I was thinking about the golf games. And no, you know what? It was after I played Wii Sports, but if some little girl comes up and plays, she has to be able to do a full swing, but I want to be able to do the same thing. But some little girl comes up and plays, she has to be able to do a full swing, but I want to be able to do the same thing, but I want to use my full range of motion and my full strength, right? I want my full strength shot that I have to be, like, I have to calibrate with, you know, perfect strength as much as I have to get that perfect shot. And if I miss it by 10%, then I only have a 90% stroke. I want that to be the game. And
hey, they do it for steering wheels for all games, like all racing games since the dawn of time. Why can't they do it with the
Wii? No, here's the thing, though. With, you know how there's 256 levels of sensitivity on a PlayStation 2 controller?
Okay.
On the buttons, not just the analog sticks and whatever. I can press really hard and get the strongest value, and I can press even harder. So I have a feeling with the Wii, when I swing it a certain amount, I'm hitting the maximum value, and I could swing harder and harder, and I would just be at the maximum value.
That's an interesting question. I don't think it's nearly as bad.
Again, I haven't been in a lab,
but
with those chips.
Yeah, into the lab either, actually.
But I have a feeling we're hitting the limits. And I mean, it makes sense, and I can't really blame them for it, but my expectations are apparently much higher than they should be. But the real lesson we learned here is that, once again, I was right and people who emailed me telling me I was dumb are finally catching on to what I was saying about how, you know what, you want to play a game and have the proper control with it, you probably should use a different controller, like the GameCube controller, which they won't let you use. Like Mario Galaxy, you're going to be using the analog stick and you're going to be using the buttons. You're not going to be using a whole lot of motion control, and when you are, you're using the infrared to point at the screen. Why? Because the infrared is actually accurate.
Yeah, this is not boding so well, because if it keeps going the way it's going, then...
I still have fun with the system, but it's fun in a party atmosphere, not so much fun as the hardcore gamer.
Yeah, in other words, it's fun if you don't care about your performance.
Yeah. Anyway, I also said we're going to talk about Xbox 360 Elite. What does it mean to you? And here's the big news bulletin. Absolutely nothing. That's all the news I've got.
Putting my money back in my pocket. Then.
Yeah, extra storage and a connection that you're never going to use, right? Three people, like my roommate with a 1080p TV. Right? Anyway, so I don't give a crap about that. Before we go, also, I want to thank Dillard's for letting us be a part of the Tempe Music Festival. They had like the biggest booth there. They were grouped with Fender, and they had karaoke outside. People buying crap. We were in a place where girls were going to buy clothes all day, so I loved it.
Very exciting.
But we enjoyed it. Lots of pictures that I might even put up on the website when I get my camera back because I left it there. Anyway, thank you, Dillard's, for letting us be a part of that. Guitar Hero was a lot of fun to play for like 8 hours straight. Anyway, we will be back next week with more excellent Chatterbox video game radio. Go to chatterboxgameshow.com for more.
Thank you, Billy D.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info in the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your bass are belong to us.